Thankful for everyone who's come out to the service. Thankful for your prayers. We traveled 6,000 miles and we made it safely. And there's a great confidence in knowing that people are praying for us, is it not? I don't know who it was, but I knew that people were praying for us. And whenever we're out on the sea of life, I take great confidence in that. And we're so privileged here. And when you go out across the land, you realize how privileged we really are here. And we hear that again and again and again, but I mean it this morning. And just as the other morning, it was pretty thin. People were out vacationing. People were away. And somebody said something, and Brother TJ over in the choir, he leaned over and said, "Most people would be ecstatic," or something to that effect, "to have this many people on a Sunday morning, right?" And these things I try to meditate on because I want to be thankful. I want to love God. I want to love His work. I want to be caught up in those things. So when the trials come, or perhaps people say things, we can just shake those things off, right? Because when we're caught up in the love of God, no matter what comes our way, and things are going to come our way and they're going to test us, we can just shrug them off and say, "Lord, thank you for saving me." If somebody says something out of place, "Lord, thank you for saving me," so what? That's a small thing, right? We're blessed here at the Church of God. We are so blessed to have what we have, to have a pastor who cares, to have Sunday school, to have a choir, to have players on instruments. We're so blessed. And as you go out over the land and you see just a handful gathering, just a handful, that's all they have. That's what they've been dealt. And they go on, right? And they're faithful. But we here have been dealt a real treasure. And just because it's been here doesn't mean it's always going to be here. And as I've said, there are pillars that are passing off. And somebody has to fill their shoes. And we can sit here in the pews and look over our shoulders and hope that somebody else picks it up, right? But at some point, God's going to call us to a greater work. And are we prepared to sacrifice even more? It's a great calling. It is a great calling to work for God. And it's a great calling to be saved this morning. And to all the visitors who are here, we welcome you this morning. I trust and pray that you'll feel the Spirit of God. And that's always the convincing agent. Paul said, "I didn't come by word only, but by power and assurance, and by the Holy Ghost." And those things are what assures us and convinces us this morning. A man can get up and preach the word front to back, but does he possess the Spirit? Does it witness to us? Does it change us? If there's no change, they're just swelling words. I want words that change. We hear that a lot in politics, don't we? I just laugh at all that mess. People actually think answers are through our government. We need to wake up. The only answer, He's sitting in the heavens right now. He's the answer to all of our problems. He's the only one that can unite us. We went with some brethren the other night, and these are lessons that as you're in and you're visiting, and we went to see Sister Ernestine. Do you know the majority of that rest home, they're mostly black there, right? And so we have a group of young men, and all of us there that night were all white. And as I thought, as we're passing through, we're there because there's one of us there. There's a saint of God there, right? And I thought about how God binds us all together. And nobody else in the world can do that but God Himself. You can try all the classes, You can study it, you can broker it, but it has to be something that God puts down on the inside of every one of us. To love one another. I'm so glad to be saved. Brother, I found something and I want to go higher. I want to go higher, don't you? I was praying last night, and you know, praying's a good thing, right? But I want to pray and be effectual in it. I want to see more accomplished. And I thought about, I don't want to get caught up in excuses. You know, in sales, they don't accept a single excuse. You produce. And I don't care what the weather's like. I don't care what the economy's doing. You are asked to produce. Excuses need to go by the wayside. And I thought about our prayer lives, and I want to see more accomplished. And you know, there's a lot of excuses that we can come up with. People don't want this anymore. And the one excuse that come into my mind, well, it takes time for God to work. And I thought about that sometimes that can become a crutch. I read in the Word of God, some things didn't take very long. Brother, when Peter was praying for Dorcas, she was dead. He didn't say, Lord, give me a month, give me 6 months. Brother, he had to get down to business right there. And I think about there are things going on in our lives that we need God to move. We have family members. Urgency, right? Urgency. You know what? The one trait of a good salesman, I watch him. I watch others. There's something that a good salesman has to have. He has to have urgency, number one. If he has urgency, he's going to be very successful. What is our urgency? What is our calling this morning? We should have the greatest urgency of anyone in the world. We have souls that are depending on us. And if you would, turn me to John, the 18th chapter. John, the 18th chapter. And I love this thought, and I've been studying this thought for a couple weeks, and it's been on my mind. And as the church of God, I think about my pastor, I think about other pastors, I think about youth leaders, I think about when you get up here and bring a message. The one thing, if you're in the will of God, is you want to, number one, help the people, right? That's what it's all about. And I know that Brother Decker, I know it's a burden. I know that anyone who stands here, it's a burden. How do we stir up the ones who are listening, right? Because it's in all of us as leaders to want to see ones go higher and go further for God, right? I know that that's a burden. And in our minds, we wonder, how in the world can we do this, right? There's only one way. God has to do it. But with that, we have to mix a little of our efforts in with it, right? It's just like when I go to work, Lord, help me to sell something, but I can't sit there on my chair and just expect God to help me out, right? I tell God, I'll do my part. I'll give it all I have, and then you make up the rest, right? And it's the same way with our experience. We're going to have a part to play. And then God comes in, little as much when God is in it. But in John, the 18th chapter, this is an iconic moment. And I know I think about this moment quite a bit, and I know that you are saved, you do too. And it's an exchange between Pilate and Jesus. And there's an exchange here. And as we begin reading here in John, the 18th chapter, verse 35, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Turn over me to Ecclesiastes, my favorite book. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. I'm going to tell you what, if you want to get your mind right, just read Ecclesiastes. It'll explain what we're surrounded by, right? Vanity of vanities. God, help me to see that. It's only in Christ that we find true riches. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, we'll begin reading in verse 13. You know this. This is well worn. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Why? For this is the whole duty of man. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We want to talk to you this morning about, art thou a king? Art thou a king? And many times, we that get saved, we forget a very valuable lesson here this morning, that we reign with Christ. I'm telling you, I don't want to be one that just squeaks into heaven. When I read of Peter, when I read of Paul, when I read of the mighty men of God, they did not squeak into heaven. Brother, they were causing a commotion. And I'm sure the devil was glad to get rid of them because they were absolutely turning the world upside down. I don't believe it's in any of our hearts that are saved to squeak in. I've heard that foolish statement. Well, I'd like to get saved and die and just go on to heaven. Well, that's your human thinking right there, because that's not the way God operates. He saves us for a very specific purpose, and it is to further his kingdom in whatever we do. Art thou a king? Now, if you were to ask people out there in the world, if you were to just randomly walk up and somebody in Giant Eagle today and ask them if they were a king, they would think you were crazy, right? And they have every right to be, right? Be a strange question. Have you ever been asked a strange question? Kind of throws you off. Well, you would throw off most people, but I would hope in the church of God that we wouldn't be thrown off this morning. Because did you know that we are kings? And I know, just like I mentioned earlier, that the burden of our pastor is us to see us live up and accept those privileges that we are afforded. We are living, I'm convinced of it, and I'm not putting it on you, I'm putting it on me. I'm not worried about everybody else, I'm worried about my porch, right? We are living below our privileges. I believe that with all my heart. We are kings, not in some other life, but in this life. And if you were to ask King David, if you were to ask King Solomon, if you were to ask King Hezekiah, are you a king? Do you think they would answer that confidently? Oh, yes, they would. I am a king. And every one of us, I'm not talking about pride and being puffed up, but I'm talking about reigning with Christ this morning and having that power that the world recognizes. What are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual power. Questions. Art thou a king this morning? You know, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it speaks of faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you know, when it really comes down to it, it comes down to faith. When you boil all this experience down to where we are living, it comes down to our faith. Do we really believe these promises? Do we really believe what is afforded to us in the Word of God? I'm talking about power this morning. I'm talking about a power that this world needs. There is so much godlessness in it that there's no going to be no other way than to have the power of God helping us. We can make excuses, but I'm telling you, the apostles were facing a legion of false religion just like we are today. There were false gods on every side. And you know what? They made no excuses, brother. They went out with a mission. And I'm talking about being effective. Do you know that Paul evangelized the then known world in 3 years? I've been thinking about what I've been doing for the past 3 years. What have we been doing for the past 3 years? God help us. I'm telling you, there are greater things for us here this morning. But faith, true faith, believing that I am a king, that I am reigning with one who can change the world, that comes down to faith. And a symptom of the Spirit is faith. That's why most people, when we sing that song about getting saved, most people are standing up. You know what day they mostly stand up on? Sunday. Do you know why? Because the Word of God is being presented the most on Sunday. And when the Word is being presented, faith works into a service, because the Spirit of God comes right down and begins to work with us. And faith begins to rise, that I can be saved from my sins. What a proclamation this morning, that we can be saved. What a blessing to be saved. I came to Jesus sick of sin. Brother, I can amen that this morning. I found something that's so much better. Something that's so much better. Something far greater than I was ever involved in sin. They say the world is 13.8 billion years old. See, the Bible talks about foolish questions. Nobody actually really knows the answer to that question anyway, so why argue about it? I don't believe it's 13.8 billion years old, but why argue about it? Foolish questions, they gender strife. But for someone to say that there's no God, do you know that's laughable to me? Because if you believe that the world is 13.8 billion years old, and you've been around for 20 years, if you've been around for 40 years, if you've been around for 100 years, how in the world could you make that proclamation? We're just a speck in the middle of eternity. How could we make such a proclamation this morning? Friend, I'm telling you, God's real this morning. And He expects us to be kings in this wonderful transaction called salvation. In John, the first chapter, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Do we realize that this morning? Do we take lightly that we use that term saint, right? But when you think about a son of God, I don't know about you, but that brings a responsibility over my soul. We're called the sons of God. I don't know how many of you know Shaquille O'Neal. Do you know who that is? He was a basketball player.
Right.
And I could claim to be his son by birth. Now, there's all kinds of problems with that statement. Number one, we're about the same age, right? Number two, he's black, I'm white. Number three, he's about 7'1". I'm nowhere near that. He's about 400 pounds. There are so many differences that I could claim, and I can claim all I want, that I'm a son, but it doesn't match up to what I'm saying. And there's a lot of religious folks out here saying that I am a son of, that's what you're saying, that I am a son of God, but yet the characteristics don't match up. Your mouth betrays you. You say, what are you talking about? Using off-color language, dirty jokes, lying. You look a certain way. Your characteristics, you can talk about it all you want. Just like I can say I'm Shaq's son, and people look at me and laugh me to scorn. It's the same way out there. We are the sons of God. And brother, I'm telling you, what an honor and a privilege that is to be called and afforded the sons of God. Do you think being a son of God, that should afford us some power? Do you think we should have some power that's not afforded in the world because we're born again? Because we are the sons of God? Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. I love this scripture. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Speaking of Jesus. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. You know what that's saying? God has given Jesus all power in heaven and in earth. And through that, Jesus is going to divide all that spoil with us. I want you to think about that. He gives gifts severally as he will, does he not? He is spreading that spoil, that great spoil that God has given him, he spreads it with us. And I'm telling you, if Jesus has given us the spoil, there should be an evidence of it. There should be an evidence of us being royal. Did you know that we are royal here this morning? Do we really believe that? That we're royal? When I thought about us getting saved, I couldn't help but think of Saul. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. Many times, this is our experience. In 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter, begin reading in verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, anointing him king, in other words, and kissed him and said, "It is not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" Question mark. Skip on down to verse 20. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near, the families and the families of Matri was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come hither. And the Lord answered, behold, he had hid himself among the stuff. Saul was called with a great calling. He was anointed king over Israel. But he wasn't behaving like it. He was hiding amongst the stuff. And I fear too many times, God help us to not be hiding among the stuff. We're called with a high calling here this morning. And we were talking about it just as he was in Sunday school. I heard in Sunday school, I was listening, right? That's why we need to be in Sunday school. There's something for us. And he was talking about how men are limited. Do you know that we are all limited here this morning in some capacity? And I grew up in sports. And there's a lot of lessons that you can learn from that. And people, no matter who they are, even if it's LeBron James, the greatest basketball player in the world, do you think he stops trying? He knows he's the best. But you know what? He continually is striving for the mastery. He consults every human help he can possibly find to give him just a little bit more of an advantage over his enemy, so to speak, right? He's out there competing. He's competing against other men. And he is looking for every advantage that he can attain. And then I thought about the great church of God. What about if we were committed to working with God like that? Now LeBron, he's limited because he has to consult human help, right? He can only take his body so far. But we at the Church of God, we're not limited here. When we're working with God, what could be possible? Oh, God, help us to get this through, that we are kings here. I want more power. I know that you want more power. Because there's a world that we're not going to convince without the power of God here this morning. Do you know that Joseph? Ah, what an example. Do you know that Joseph was laboring? Think about what all he endured. Think about him this morning. God put him through test after test. Yep, he kept laboring with God, did he not? Right. What happened to him? He was highly exalted under the number two position. He was a Jew. He was number two in all the land of Egypt. You talk about a high promotion. When we work with God, we are promoted. Not because we're anything, but because we're workers together with Him. Kings, the burden of the message here. Are we living to all our privileges here this morning? Jesus was highly exalted. And we know that there is a law of sowing and reaping. And the scripture uses a word, it's a haunting word. He who sows sparingly. Do you know that there is a law in effect? And if we are sowing sparingly, do you know what that means? We're going to reap sparingly. Einstein talked about it, did he not? He talked about the madness, the craziness of doing something again and again and again and expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity, is it not? Amen. And as I look in my life, I want to see more happen. Amen. I want to see more movement in my family. I want to see more movement on the workplace. I want to see more things happen. Amen. And if I continue to do the things that I'm doing, then I'm going to get the same result. So you know what that's going to cause us to have to do? We're going to have to dig in a little deeper. We're going to have to dig in a little harder because it's going to take commitment. Do you know that kings have characteristics, do they not? Do you know the king has authority? Do you know that we are afforded authority in our lives? If we have Jesus with us, there are not too many things that can shake us. You know why? Because we have the King. And we are given the Word, and we are given the Spirit. And through that, we have all the authority that we need. Do you know that a king dresses differently? Did you know that? Do you know that modesty, I told him in Oregon, modesty is royal. Did you know that? Modesty is royal. I told them they've been crying at the dealership. It's 90 degrees. They've been crying. Why can't we wear shorts? Why can't we do all this? You ought to hear them crying like a bunch of babies. Quit you like men. We're out here working, right? They're just crying and crying. Well, we got an email, and you thought they won the lottery. Saturday. Casual Saturdays. So I went in, I looked the same that I always do. I want to make money. I want to look professional. They look like a bunch of goofballs. They looked unkept. You couldn't even tell who they worked for. You didn't know if they were buying or if they were selling. What are we selling? We're all ambassadors. We cannot escape that here this morning. If we claim to be saved, we're all ambassadors. We represent Him no matter where we're at. And just like I told him in Oregon, that's a, you know that every preacher has a hobby? They hobby something? Do you know that our appearance says everything about us? It doesn't cause us to be saved the way we look. But I'll tell you what, there's an old commercial. I grew up, Andre Agassi, which he's terrible looking with his long hair. T3i Canon. And at the end of that commercial, he would say these words, image is everything. Do you know that when you're a child of God, people judge you? What you look like? Modesty is royal here this morning. And we are representing Christ no matter where we are. Come on, if you saw our pastor, if you were to go to Kroger and he's bopping around in some shorts and flip-flops, you would be aghast. And you should be. You have a certain standard in your mind that he should look, right? Do you know that it goes just back on us? People have a standard that they expect us to look like. There is no second standard for the pastor and the people. Brother, the rule is the same. And you have no idea where you're going to be and who's going to see you. We were right there in Wichita, Kansas, and keys got locked in the car. That's a bad place. Good thing is we were in a Chick-fil-A. That's a great place to get your keys locked in the car, right? And so we're sitting there trying to figure out, Renee's calling her dad, trying to figure out how we can get somebody out there. Because I didn't feel like spending $120 for a locksmith or whatever it was going to be. So I turned around to the lady behind me. And I said, do you have AAA? She said, yeah. So would you mind calling him? I said, I'll give you $25. She said, oh, you don't have to do that. So that lady was so nice, helped us out, stayed until they arrived. So we got to talking to her. She went to Ohio State. Her family's from Cincinnati. Her husband's from Cleveland. And my wife started talking to her and she has her address. Do you know that all things happen for a reason? Wichita, Kansas. And we meet a Buckeye that helped us out, right? I can respect that. I can respect that. But God has all things under control. Do we have all things under control? Do you know that a king isn't voted in? Did you know that? We're not voted into God's kingdom. It's by birthright. And when we're born again, we become the Son of God. It's through adoption. God adopts us into the family of God. And as we begin to wrap up here this morning, spiritual kings. See, Pilate couldn't get past the fact that he was looking at Jesus, and there he was. He didn't have anything, did he? But oh, I'm convinced Pilate recognized it. He recognized it. He knew for envy. He knew for envy of the Jews. That's why he was there. That number one thing he did know, right?
That's right.
But as he was eyeballing him, trying to get in his mind, is this man a king? And God help us as we're out here in the world that people don't question us the same way. You say, what do you mean they don't have victory? They're up and down. And in their minds, is this man a Christian? Is this man a king? Does this man, he's proclaiming that he has Christ, but the evidence isn't there. And Pilate was struggling with this. Art thou a king? Thou sayest I am. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world. Is that our testimony here this morning, Church of God? I thought about spiritual kings. I thought about Paul. He turned the world upside down in 3 years. Are we turning our workplace upside down? When we boil that down, think about Paul. He's disrupting the entire world. God help me to disrupt my street. My neighbors that are living beside me, God help me to disrupt the street I live on. God help me to disrupt my workplace. Paul's disrupting the whole world, and I can't disrupt my street. We got to go a little higher. We're going to have to go a little further. Peter, Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 15. And as I was reading that, the very end of that caught my attention for the first time. They were trying to get to Peter, all the sick to be healed. But the very end, it says that at the least, oh, I rejoiced in these words, that if they couldn't get to Peter, that at the least, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Think about that. I'm talking about a spiritual king here this morning. I'm talking about power. Such power that they were trying to get in his shadow. And I thought about our shadow. Do you know right now I can see my shadow? It's right there. Maybe it's behind me too. Is our shadow finding the places that it needs to? Can we find our shadow visiting the sick? Can we find our shadow in the prayer closet? Can we find the shadow over this great book, right? Is our shadow where it needs to be? Are we overshadowing those that are in the greatest need this morning?
Very good.
Peter was doing it, and we should as well. And as we begin to close, are we a king? Are we a king? And if you're here and you're unsaved, I couldn't help but think about those words, those great words. For this cause came I unto the world. Did God bring, I thought about, you know, when you have children, I now realize, I'm starting to realize all the effort that it took to raise me. Right? Changing diapers, which I don't do much of that, should do more. Bringing in the bacon, right? Raising children. All the effort. And it almost gives me anxiety thinking about my children that all this effort I'm putting into them and they could become a drug addict. They could go the wrong way. That almost burns a hole in my stomach. You say, why do you say that? Because we were sent into this world. I read it to open the service. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We were brought into this world for service.
Right.
Think about all the effort the parents put into you. All the ones around you that have prayed for you to be saved, if you're lost here this morning. And for this cause, what did you come into this world for? Some people come into this world to drink themselves to death. That's their cause. Some people come into this world for tobacco. Some people come into this world apparently because of bitterness. And they're going to go to their grave like that. You were not brought into this world and for that cause to be lost. You have a much higher calling here this morning.
Amen.
You were brought into this world to be a king.
Right.
To reign with him. Had my coworker Friday. I was getting ready to leave, go out. He says, hey, can I ask you a favor? Sure. He said, can you pick me up some snuff at the store? I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. He said, okay, yeah, no problem. That's not the cause I was brought into this world.
Right.
Not a snuff runner. I run the gospel, right?
Right?
Come on, I want you to think about beggarly elements. God placed us here, the great creator, for this cause. We were born and brought into this world, not to sip on a bottle, not to be a drug addict, not to be a whoremonger, but here, brother, I'm here to tell you we're here to be saved and to be preparing for eternity. If you're lost here this morning, it's time to start reigning because other things are reigning over you. And I got sick of that being out there in the world of sin. I got sick of things reigning over me. I'm so glad that I can turn it all over to Jesus Christ this morning. And I feel like Brother Stagmeyer doing this, but it's just so fitting. I have to read some words of a song. And how fitting it is, page 200, Evening Light Hymnal, reigning in this life. And wow, these words tie right in. Do you triumph Oh, my brother, over all this world of sin, in each storm of tribulation, does your Jesus reign within? Once we hail as King immortal, he did earth and hell subdue, and bequeathing, giving us his glory, we are kings anointed too.
Right.
Shall we then by sin be humbled? Must we yield to any foe? No, by heaven's gift we're reigning over all this world below. Oh, what grace and high promotion that in Jesus I should be, raised from sin to royal honor, ever reigning, Lord, with thee. All this life is blissful sunshine. Earth is subject at our feet. Heaven pours its richest blessings round the throne of love complete. Then we'll sing and shout the story of the wondrous blood divine. Full salvation, glory, glory. I am reigning all the time. What is the burden of the message? Do we want to go higher, Church of God? Are we willing to make a commitment this morning to go a little higher? Have we been living below our privileges? I want to go higher. I want to see more accomplished. And you know what? How do you stir people? How do we stir ourselves to do that? We must come to God. This is a spiritual work. Do you know that if you love to read your Bible, it's not because of your makeup, but it's because God put that in you. Do you love to pray? It's not because of your flesh, because I know what I was like when I was without God. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to read his word. I didn't want to go to the church house. Everything that we accomplish is a gift from God. And if we want to go higher and we want to see more accomplished, there's only one place that we can go. And Walmart doesn't have it. Amazon doesn't have it. But Jesus Christ does. Are we willing to lay it on the altar this morning? Are we willing to commit just a little more this morning? See, we can't, I tell people that first get saved, don't get up and try to start running too fast. You'll fall down. It's day by day, right? We can't come down here and pray that I get up from this altar and I'm going to be the Apostle Paul. It doesn't work that way. But you know what? We can ask for a little more. And you know what? After we get a little more, then we can ask for a little bit more. It's day by day. So I trust that you feel the burden of the message this morning. Let's live up to our privileges. And if we're not, let's ask God to help us to do that. Let us stand. Father, we're thankful for all that you've done.